again for another edition, another issue, episode of The Wrap. This guy here had to be really particular before he came on. I was just going to say...
It's important to me
It's important to Levi. I was just going to say episode 40-something, but episode 45 today.
45.
And we have, again, a very interesting topic for today as we continue on talking through the story of Moses.
Yeah.
We have this one today, and then one more story to finish off Moses. This feels like definitely has been the longest stretch that we've talked about one person, because what we've done three, we would have done 3 weeks on him, is that right? 3 weeks on Moses,
yes.
I think, when we're all said and done by next week.
Because we did one last week, we got this week, and we'll have one next week.
Yep, so 3 weeks on Moses, and how could you not?
He's a pretty important character.
He's a pretty important guy, and he's got a lot of crazy stuff in his life, so it's almost hard to just say, hey, here's Moses' life in 1 week, have fun. No, so the second week of it here, we're talking about Israel in the wilderness. Israel for 40 years in a wilderness. Oof.
It's a long time.
That's a long time when it really should have taken them about 3 weeks to get to the promised land. I mean, could you ever imagine those guys looking back and they're like, we did the calculations. We should have done this about 39 weeks, 39 years. And it is, it's incredibly frustrating. But, you know, I've kind of said it this way, that there was a lot of stuff that God had to work out of Israel in those 40 years. Mm. It's just fascinating. I'm kind of a few weeks ahead of what we're talking about today. We'll talk in a couple weeks about Joshua and Jericho. I said I wouldn't do this, but we won't go too far into it. I just have to, because I'm always constantly working ahead, and I see the story. And Joshua and Jericho is fascinating because it's kind of the bridge between their wilderness living and then entering into the promised land. But 40 years of just wandering around, and you think to yourself, how in the world could one survive 40 years? And this is really, I think, an unfair characterization. The wilderness, you kind of think about like, you know, trees, forest, all kinds of, no.
Barren
it was
wasteland.
A barren wasteland for 40 years. In fact, some have compared it to the surface of the moon. You know, is it just how barren, how stark it was?
Not to mention, you've got this promise hanging over your head. And you probably feel like, and in many ways they were, you're just going in circles, right? Like,
a lot of instances they were just making some circles. They're like, didn't we already see this? Yeah. You ever done that?
So not only were they stuck in the wilderness, they were seeing the same wilderness year after year.
Yeah, like when you're in the Sinai Peninsula wilderness and the desert there, the scenery doesn't change much. And again, talking about that, we often think about when they're journeying through the wilderness, they're in the desert, and so you've got like sand after sand, just sand and sand, maybe a little sand dune here. We're talking about some pretty mountainous, treacherous, deadly territory.
It wasn't just an easy walk.
No, it wasn't. I mean, 40 years in a desert, not easy, but when you consider, if you know the geography of it, it makes it even more heightened. And that's kind of what sets the story up for today, because we come off of last time we talked about Moses and the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea. They're on the eastern shore of the Red Sea. I have to be careful, because sometimes I want to say the Dead Sea for some reason. I don't really know. There's too many seas over here that sound the same. They're on the eastern shore of the Red Sea. And to set up our story for today, they're journeying along, and they get about 3 days away from the, I mean, this is an amazing moment at the Red Sea. In fact, in Exodus 15, which we're not going to talk about much, they have like this gigantic worship service.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've been to stuff like Winter Jam before, which is just like a gigantic party. Like, this is Winter Jam times 100, probably. And like tambourines, dancing around, hooping, hollering, going crazy. They're 3 days from that amazing, epic worship service, and then they have a problem, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
You remember what their first problem was?
They're hungry.
Well, not that, before that. Remember, we talked about at the very end of Exodus 15, they've got a problem. They come to Marah, and they are there, and they say, God, we're thirsty.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They were thirsty.
So they have no water. Yeah. That's their first problem.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a survivalist. But I watch enough survival shows, and you know as well as I do, that's why I've got this sitting here. I'm like addicted to
You drink water.
Yeah, everybody said, they're like, dang, you drink a lot of water. You are always carrying that thing around. It's true, because water is so absolutely important to our bodies. I can't go without water consistently. And, you know, again, consider that they're out in the desert in probably 100 plus degree heat and temperatures. And they start to freak out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, we can do a day without water. Two is really stretching, but three, now you're pushing it. And it says that they, what's the magic word in this whole section, you remember? It comes up over and over again. What do they start to do?
Oh, they complain, they whine, they...
No, yeah. I know you, Levi, and I know myself. Like, you've never complained in your life, have you? No.
Yeah.
Gosh, we sometimes...
I complain all the time.
I complain about complaining.
Yeah. Yeah, I complain if there's nothing to complain about.
We sometimes complain about the pettiest things possible. Now, I would consider this moment, like, this is a real no...
Yeah, if you're going to complain, now would probably be a moment to complain.
It's a no joke. Right? It's a serious moment. Yeah. We don't have water.
Right.
And the issue with it was not only that they did not have water, they came to a water source, but there was a problem with the water source.
Bitter.
Wasn't drinkable. I mean... It can't be anything worse than the wilderness. And as you're hiking around for three straight days and you're like, I just want some water, you know? And you're like, oh, I found some. And then you find out, I can't drink this. Yeah. That's like, that's just cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah. You know, you kind of think of that moment. And so they immediately at that point says they turn on Moses and they start to complain. And I honestly couldn't tell you between the end of chapter 15 in Exodus and all throughout 16 how many times the word complain, complaints, complaining, complains comes up. It's insane. That's what honestly marks this entire section.
I love how in that section, you see the first thing they address, Moses and Aaron, when they talk to the people, your complaint is not with us, so just quit complaining to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not our problem. We are just the junior managers. Yeah. You need to take it all the way to the top office. All right? It is not against us. All right? But they do. They start... And here's what we forget. It wasn't like this was a group of like, you know, 100 and 200 people. We're talking like millions of people.
Yeah.
And I kind of shared this before. You've been on a road trip before and people start to get restless and they start to get thirsty and they start to get hungry. Things turn real bad.
Yeah.
That's with just like one or two people. We're talking about one.
Hangry is a thing.
Hangry is definitely a thing. You better grab yourself Snickers before you go. That was their problem, man.
They didn't have any Snickers.
They did not stop at the Egyptian canteen before they left and got themselves, or the Egyptian pop shop before they left and got themselves a Snicker, a king-size Snickers.
Right. They should have got the king-size
Snickers. You know what they should have gotten, actually? You've ever been to like Walmart and you've seen those gigantic, like, I don't know, they're like Kit Kat bars that are like that big. Yeah. You know, it's like they needed like a 10-pound Snickers bar, and that would have solved everything in this situation. It actually wouldn't have. Here is the question that I kind of have is, what often causes us, or I guess the question or probably better phrase, what is the genesis or the core of why we seem to complain about things in life? What do you think?
I think a lot of times it's expectation. When we expect something in our timetable, or the way we want it, and it doesn't happen that way, I think we complain. But I think another reason we complain, and I think kind of down to the core of why they were complaining, was lack of trust. They were seeing the problem from their perspective of, there's no water.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, you know, and heeding the advice Moses had already given them, not too far into the distant past, right, of, stand firm and watch the Lord work for you.
Well, that's coming up. That's coming. Well, I'm sorry.
They cross over.
Red Sea. Yeah. So you're right.
Instead of listening to that, they start freaking out. You know, and I think a lot of their complaining was based in fear.
Yes. Yes. You're bouncing all around also a topic that I think really is, like, to me, the central core issue of all these things. Fear. Distrust, lack of faith, those are all to me just symptoms of a greater problem. And that greater problem is a remembering problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this is the key part, I think, of this whole story and scenario. And I think this isn't just a Red Sea problem. This isn't just an Israel problem. This is a today problem. Yeah. And the issue, what's so important in the story, is they are 3 days. 3 days from seeing the, I cannot even stress how.
Mind-blown
the
miracle.
The greatest miracle victory that had been won to that point in their young nationhood. 3 days they're removed from it, and it's like they never even saw it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, here's the deal, guys. Not only did God redeem you and rescue you through Passover, not only did he help you walk through dry ground in the parting of the Red Sea, do you think God might be able to take care of a cup of water? Mm. And then we look at that, and we're like, those Israelites. But could not the same questions be asked of us almost every time that we start to fret and worry and be anxious? I mean, like, man, it's amazing to me how we've gone through this. And it seems like almost every message I say this phrase or somebody says it to me. That was a really timely message. Do you think? Which is just proof in the pudding that all of God's word is helpful for all of time.
It's timely. It's a timely
book. It is a timely book. It's not some crusty, dusty old book that has no connection with us. And the reason I say that is particularly because of this story we're talking about today is the reason that we look around the world today and guess what? There are about 1,000,001 things to be freaked out about.
Oh, yeah.
And I just hear it all of the time. I was sitting in the ninth circle of hell, a.k.a. the BMV yesterday. That's what I call it anyways. And I was just in there, packed full of people. I've never seen the BMV that packed full. And I was telling you the story, and just sharing it with our viewing audience here. It took one guy to come in and start talking about the woes of the world and this and that. And it was like a beehive had been stirred up.
Oh, yeah, that kind of stuff. How quickly it spread in that little office. But think about through an entire nation of just murmur.
We're a powder keg, man. And we are a powder keg.
The crazy part is, and I think it's why this message is even more timely for us today, is with technology and the way we can together really quickly, really conveniently over Facebook.
Okay.
And it goes, yeah.
That's what I said. We are at any moment like a little powder keg, and the smallest little spark. Just sets it off. And so, is this yesterday at the BMV, and this is so strange, isn't it, right? Like, I'm not trying to stretch this. I'm not trying to overdo this, but yesterday the BMV was a microcosm of Exodus 16. I'm just like, it didn't take any time at all, and all I hear is just this grumbling, this complaining, this anger, this angst, and I was like, wow, sirs. And, you know, in our context, you know, can't certainly say how many of those people were believers, not believers, faithful or not, but all I can do is speak to this. It still seems like we have a huge problem, even within the church, of paying way too much attention to what's out there and what's going on, and then not enough to what God has done, what he is doing, and what he promised he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was the issue with the Israelites here in the wilderness and in the desert. They're wandering around. They have a remembering problem. And I had this line, and I still remember it. It's going to stick in my mind, I feel like, forever. We often, this is a line by Skip Heitzig, and he says this, we often forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. And I'm like,
that's so true.
Oh, yeah. That is just that's a good power line, because it's like, that's true, and that is why so many of us spend so much of our life dissatisfied, disgruntled, and angry is because we are focusing on the complete wrong things. Now, again, I'll be the first to admit to you, the world is a really messed up place.
Oh,
and there are some really messed up people.
There's a lot of stuff to get mired down with. Yeah.
But I think God is constantly telling us, just fix your eyes here.
Yeah.
It's all throughout the Bible, too. It's not just here. I just think of another story that popped right into my mind is in the New Testament when Jesus is walking in the water and Peter's like, well, that's a really cool trick, Jesus. And if that's really you, tell
call
me to
me out there.
Call me out there on that water. And he says, well, come to me, Peter. And it says for a moment, Peter's walking on the water. I mean, could you imagine that, by the way? I mean, like,
that'd be cool.
All the disciples are like, dang it, he's going to be the favorite. You know, it's like, but what does it say? In the very next instance, he began to see all the waves and all the wind and what was going on around him, and he began to sink. It's no different in our day. And any time that we get our eyes off of God and who he is and what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do, we start to sink.
Yeah.
Really quick. And they were sinking fast here in this scenario, not only with water, but the next big story that kind of has a big connection to this is, like, now we're hungry.
Yeah.
My belly is growling. I need food. And the whole point of that is, you know, just the same thing as the water, is they just had this distrust because they forgot. Oh, again,
right.
God has parted the Red Sea. We came through that. At this point, it's about a month after they've left Israel.
Yeah.
But that God gave us water at Marah. He gave us this little thing called Elim, which was like basically a little spa, you know, a little spa stop for us. God has been providing every step of the way. Why would he not in this situation?
Do you notice what... And that remembrance problem, it's so true, because not only did they start forgetting what God had done for them, they started remembering even their captivity differently.
Mm. Yeah, what did they say, remember?
Well, we had pots full of meat.
To be back in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat and had all the bread we wanted to.
I think
this is a big problem, honestly, for us in our own day.
We do the same thing. Back in the day, it was so much better.
Back in the golden age? Back in those golden years.
No, was it?
I said, you just rub on that gold enough, it'll come right off it. It ain't gold at all. It's just fool's gold. Yeah.
But yeah, their remembrance problem
causes what I would call
distorted
perspective problems.
Yes. Yeah.
Remembrance problems lead to perspective problems, which then lead to grumbling and complaining and whining and moaning. And like, we could go through the whole story.
Well, if you're not careful about Kirchel, I'm making up words now.
Kirchel.
If you're not careful about shifting your priority, or your, not priority, but your focus and that perspective, it's a spiral.
It is.
Because if you're not actively switching that perspective and keeping that perspective where it needs to be, there's more and more to get yourself wrapped up into.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then it's just a never ending.
It is.
Cycle.
It is. And so like, we can sit here and tell this whole story of manna and quail, but go read it in Exodus 16. Yeah. And a lot of you will know the story of what happens there, how God provides for them. But the thing that I really want us to see, and want you guys to see as well too, is we have to shift the perspective from a grumbling and a complaining problem to a gratitude posture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's all about. You know, so if we're talking about grumbling and complaining being the thing that sinks us down, the only thing that brings us out of that and brings us to a godly perspective is gratitude.
Right.
Gratitude leads to celebration. And that's, you know, that's what they did at the beginning part of Exodus 15. They just, again, forgot about it. And I just think what would be really healthy for us, and I had told this to my Bible study group on Sunday morning, was I want you to think about the moments in your life where God has shown up miraculously and provided for you. Because that's what this whole story really is about. That's what our main point was on Sunday, that God gives us exactly what we need when we need it. Not when we think we need it. Not when we ask for it always, but when we need it at just the right time, that's when he gives it to us. And I said, think about all those moments in your life that God has shown up in miraculous ways and been good to you. And honestly, I could sit here and probably spend 2 or 3 rap episodes telling about all the amazing things, given the time and really having a chance to jot it down and be like, I want to talk about these things. I think that when we do that, that is what's healthy.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly
Rather than complaining, bragging on what God's done.
Brag on God.
Yeah.
Glorify God for what he has done in our lives. And so I guess that's kind of the homework that I have for all of our viewers today is, you know, think about that in your life as wherever you're watching this, you know, spend the next few days just really thinking about the moments that God has shown up. And for those of you who you're like, you know, I don't know anything about this God thing, I think all of us have moments in our life where like, man, we were spared.
Yeah.
We were watched out for, we were taken care of in that moment, and I guarantee you, whether you've got the God, you know, thing and you're on that track or not, that's a God. Mm-hmm. That's God, and he's working in your life graciously and mercifully to make sure that you are taken care of, provided for, and that you have exactly what you need when you need it. So any last comments from you, Levi? No, anything you want to say?
I think that's good.
Man, we just wrapped up a whole really big backstory in like 21 minutes. Probably actually less than that because we fooled around a little bit before. Yeah, we were doing some silly things before that. So, hey, as always, we are incredibly happy that you would join us and that you would listen in on a part of God's story. And so we ask that you just keep on tuning on in. Invite people to watch this so that they get just a great little supplement to what God is doing in other parts of their life and where they may be worshiping in their churches, that this is just our attempt to kind of come alongside that. And so we hope you enjoy, and until we see you next time, God bless.
See you guys.